Turn again in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We begin at verse 8. Now we're coming into a scripture reading and thoughts that are very explosive in a sense. We're not going to be in just a general overview, but Paul is speaking in terms that almost go beyond our grasp. And this is the wonder of the Christian life, that we can even get engaged in a life that is so vast and beautiful and expressive. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I don't know if in what you do every day you strive for excellence, whether it's cleaning your house or reading a book or whatever. Striving for excellence is not easy. It takes concentration, it takes time, it takes practice. I have a sister who's gone through a lot in her life. We were talking this morning about defining who you are. Her husband and herself started a business, and it flourished. And he taught her how to be a businesswoman, and she began to define her life as a businesswoman. And then everything crashed. They lost everything. He worked in a little garage. He wanted her to come and work on the sales. And she said to him, "I'm a businesswoman now. I know the insides and the outsides of business life. You want me to go down into a garage and work there? I can't do it." Unfortunately, my sister also was an impulsive gambler. It almost took her life. She wants to write a book. I'm encouraging her to write a book about her life because she hit rock bottom. And she stopped gambling. She went and had treatments. The problem is, how can I put this politely? She's lazy. She doesn't know she's lazy. She's not writing. When I was at college taking some writing courses, the professor said, "Now, if you're going to do any writing, you must write at least 500 words a day to gain excellence." I wrote to her recently. "How's your book coming? How's your writing?" And she said, "It's strange, Bob, that you would write to me at this time when I began thinking, why am I not writing? Thank you." We need encouragement. We don't always attain excellence by ourselves. That's why the fellowship of believers is so important to all of us in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes, unwittingly, we may say the wrong thing to a fellow believer. They may take it the wrong way. Their feelings may be hurt. And they step back rather than stepping forward. Well, we want to help each other. We want to grow together. We're not all experts in the field of counseling and what to say. And we have to realize that as we grow up in the things of Christ, people are going to say things to you. You're seeking the excellency of Christ in your life. Some people will come across in a way you didn't expect. And they make a comment, and your feelings are hurt. Here you're seeking the excellency of Christ. Can you imagine what things were said to the Lord Jesus, about the Lord Jesus, that were absolutely ridiculous? People wanted to kill him because of his excellence. And so, as we pursue our Christian lives, Paul brings to the attention, our attention, because of what he suffered, what he went through. I made that comment this morning. We're so grateful to God that Paul had experiences that he could share and bring to our attention, because it helps us in our growth, in our walk, in our appreciation of who the Lord is and what he means in our lives. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, as we live our lives, we may not think in those terms. We're grateful to the Lord that He saved us. We're thankful for a new life in Christ. We pray and we read, but we're not sure. And maybe it's just a matter of thinking about it. I don't know. Well, we do what we can, and if it's not good enough, that's okay. And I'm not saying we should be perfectionists, but there's an excellence that accompanies the Christian commitment to Christ. It's reflected in our body language. It's affected in our lifestyles. It's reflected in our word choice and what we think. That's why when we come together to worship like we did this morning, it's so important to give our very best to the Lord. I'm not saying that we all have the same degree of education or understanding of the language, but you know, no matter where you are in the scale of life, you know what you can say and what you can do and what you can think and how you can react. If anything's preventing you from understanding the glory and wonder of Christ, reconsider whatever you're doing. Not every day is going to be the same. We're people of feelings and moods. Well, maybe you're a person, you do everything at a certain time. Maybe you get up at a certain time. Some of you have extensive quiet time with God. And you need that, you want that. Others, you don't necessarily need that extensive, but you do need time to think and reflect on the person of Christ. From time to time, to appreciate the scripture, we have to take stock of ourselves. We have to take stock of what we believe. And are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus? You know, we like no ruffles and no waves and no ripples. We want to go through life sort of on a smooth ride. But sometimes, to appreciate the person of Christ, we have to go through some hard times. Times when we just do not function at 100%. To understand how great is His concern and care for us. How great are those arms beneath us to hold us up. When we do learn something about God, something about the person of Christ or the person of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and it brings joy to our being, cherish that. Remember those two disciples when they were on the way to Emmaus? And they were talking, and they invited Him in there. House. And they said, how our hearts burned within us. Now, when you have that burning heart sensation, cherish it. Use it. It's like a reserve in your soul that when the hard times come, you can withstand the onslaught or Satan's darts. Because there's a wonder and an awe in your spirit that no one can take that from you. Now, I'm not saying that our Christian faith should be built on feelings. Far too often it is. You can have a clear grasp of doctrine and of scriptural passages. You can memorize them. They can come to your mind, and that's wonderful. But from time to time, it's also wonderful to feel something. You want the feeling not to come from a meal you enjoyed or a conversation you had or something you saw. But we're so complex. Have you ever had the feeling you're by yourself, your spouse isn't with you or no friends are around, and you just somehow enjoy being in the presence of God? There's something delightful. Yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I, Paul said, who had all of this going for me, all this religious expression, activity, I lost all that. When I met the person of Christ, I realized something. He said, I was nothing. And he's the one who made me to be something. Now, we have to think about that as believers. We have to think about what our lives really are. And who we are and what we're doing. I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. My sister had to realize that her life was being governed by her desire to gamble. I can talk about my sister because it's public now. She's put it on the email. And the family must have been shaken up. I was shaken up when I read about her gambling habit and how much it destroyed her life. But she had to come to grips with that and still express herself as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've come to Christ. We're here in this fellowship. We're together. There's an excellence in the knowledge of the person of Christ that we desire and that we want. Sometimes we look at each other and something of the radiance of this knowledge comes from another believer. Sometimes they're lacking, and we seem to be a little further ahead than another believer. All right. Now, we have to handle that. We're all going to be different, but we're all going to be expressive. No, please, no one's hiding. And because of the difference, there's strength. There's awareness, there's unity. And so we gather our thoughts and we look at this scripture, and it's a deep scripture. It's brilliant. It's vibrating. It's almost more than we can have. We read it, but it's, where am I in this whole spectrum of Christian walk and commitment and understanding and the person of Christ and the person of the Father and the Holy Spirit working together in my life? I want to be found in him, Paul said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I thought I was righteous, Paul said, by all the things I did in religious scale. Now, it doesn't mean there's not duty associated with Christian commitment. There will be dutiful things that we need to do, and we're going to do it as unto the Lord. That doesn't mean we're constantly thinking through every moment of our lives, making sure we're not making any mistakes. No, I don't think Paul's talking about that. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, Paul was under a system that made him a slave. There was a legalistic aspect of what he was doing that enslaved his thoughts and his commitment. And then he found Christ. And Christ set him free. Free to grow in the knowledge and excellency of the person of God himself. The righteousness which is through faith in Christ. A very important part of our lives is an active faith. Our lives are built on faith. Dewey Vere, the philosopher, wrote an account of philosophy, and I read some of his philosophy, against Immanuel Kant. Immanuel Kant had an idea of reason. Dewey Vere said the basis of life is faith. Philosopher. And he wrote, I have his volumes, 3 volumes. It's complex because he's going into all these philosophical streets and avenues and windows and doors, and you're trying to piece it all together. But one thing I'll say, at least he's following the scriptures. Paul said it here. The righteousness that we possess now in Christ is built on faith. And we'll never, ever have to excuse ourselves for that. Everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ knows what the experience of faith does to our lives. But we don't lose that. As you therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. You received Him by faith. Still walk in faith. Now that's not as easy as you might think. You know, we've never seen God with our eyes. The beauty of the Christian life is faith. We walk by faith. And the more we realize we're walking by faith, the stronger will our Christian life be. Now we think, we reason, we interact, we wait. My brother just came through a near-death experience. We just got an email from him and say, it's wonderful, Bob. I'm alive. I went and tasted death 4.5 minutes with my heart not beating. Things are going to happen to us. Wonderful things. Terrible things. But our righteousness does not come from activities we have done, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we can live a life worthy of Christ because we've acted as He wants us to act. When He was with His disciples, He asked them questions, He gave them thought, but they weren't grasping what He was trying to tell them. If only you would believe who I am and what I can do. Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go and wake him up. What's that all about? I've said this before. I say it to myself. We look in the scriptures. We say, that's difficult to grasp. I don't quite see it. I got to keep working at it. I need an answer. Please help me to find an answer. And then someone comes along and says, the answer's right there. Why didn't you read it? Oh, I never... I didn't grasp it. A wonderful thing happened this morning. One of the men in the meeting opened his Bible and he said, I won't go into all the detail. He said to me, look, sir, look what that says. I said, look a little bit higher and you'll see why it says that. Oh, thank you. What? I tell you that because it was a delight for both of us. He had something he wanted to show me, and it seemed to be, it was a puzzle to him. Just put the two together. Oh, that makes sense. That's why we need each other. And that's why when we come to these difficulties in our Christian walk, we say, how can we ever get through this? My business, my life, there's so much pressure, I can't take it. I'm trying, Lord. We had a friend in Milwaukee, college professor. And the weekend, Monday was going to be a very horrible day for this college professor. And she was talking with us about it. Now, why I did this, I'll have no idea. It's the way the Lord works. I said, you're going to be totally surprised on Monday. You're going to be just flabbergasted because it's going to work out beautifully. And it did. It did. I was surprised. As surprised as she was. Sometimes you need to give that word. Sometimes there's an insight there that one person doesn't gather, another person does, and you don't do it with, you're not judgmental, you're just so happy, they're happy, and they can share, and they can talk to you, and you can talk to them, and they help you, and you help them. We need to have that fellowship, where it's sweet, and it's enjoyable, and it's contagious, and it's sensitive. Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having what I did. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him. Now I say, this is not easy. We're on very holy ground here. We've all read these scriptures so many times. I've read them, you've read them. But we're growing in our faith, in our appreciation of each other, our appreciation of God. I say to myself, well, I've known so much about the Lord in our worship here in the assemblies. We have that hour where we concentrate upon the person of Christ. Do I know him? He's given me a righteousness that allows me to know him. Paul wouldn't say this if he didn't believe that he could know Christ. What do you mean, Bob? Of course we can. No. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Packer wrote a book, Knowing God. You mean we can know Christ? Really? Yes. I'm not talking about words. I'm talking about someone who comes into your life and makes something special of you as a person, and you can address him. You can see him, you can behold him, you can exalt him. He wants to be found in him, but he wants to know him. Now it's the next one that is very difficult. You know, the Holy Spirit was the power behind the resurrection and the power. And we want to know Christ, we want to know the Father, we want to know the Holy Spirit. We look at this Word of God, and a lot of times when we think of power, we think of healings. No, I'm not talking about that at all. There's a power of being a child of God. Through thick and thin, through all the circumstances of life, through all the experiences, there is a power to live for Christ. It takes strength. Spiritual strength to persevere. I want to know that power, that strength of perseverance in my life. And this comes through the abiding presence of God in our lives. We get sidetracked by circumstances, by illnesses, by grief, by disappointments, by pressures at the job. If the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that's beautiful. He's there to glorify the Lord Jesus in our lives. He's there to help us interpret the scriptures. He's there to empower us, to give us the power to live a life of excellence for him. The sake of God. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That I might know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, we can't always share our sufferings. I know there are some in this meeting there, and we're praying for certain individuals who are suffering tonight. Deeply suffering. The Lord Jesus suffered more than any suffering that anyone could ever suffer in this life. Now, his suffering was based on righteousness and truth and holiness. Now, there are physical sufferings. And I think when we grasp the spiritual sufferings that we might have to have, it will help us in the hours of great physical suffering. We'd have to know Him, the power of the Holy Spirit, and what it means to suffer because you're a child of God as well. Well, we shouldn't draw back. We should try to honor the Lord Jesus in our Bible studies, in our fellowship, but in criticism and disdain and people who belittle our faith in our lives as a believer. There are many aspects to suffering. Now, let's not get into... We experience sufferings, but we're not going to pursue sufferings as a way to justify ourselves. We are already justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we suffer as a believer, and we're walking a life that's honoring to God, we don't say, woe's me. We don't say, why me? We don't say, now I'm going to get closer. No. The suffering is part of our existence. And we want to know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And we want to walk worthy. And that's it. What I'm saying is we don't want to overplay sufferings. Nor do we want to underplay it. Now, being conformed to His death is not an easy thought at all. One of the thoughts that I think about, no matter what we attain, no matter what we endure, no matter what we are as human beings, we are crucified with Christ. This is not our home. This is not where we should be. We are now part of His family. We seek those things that are above. We walk by faith. And the life that we now have in Christ Jesus is far superior to the life of our human heritage. We died with Christ. We have a baptism where we say we were buried with Him and we died. But now when we are resurrected, we are now manifesting the character of God. It's not easy. And we want to live according to this excellency, to this knowledge, to this commitment in this newness of life. Each of us has this newness of life. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And there's a growth in the newness. There's a meaning. And then He makes another astonishing statement. This is going to be so magnetic. That's not the word I want. Magnificent. This life that we have is just so full of expectancy and possibility. If by any means I may attain, and many have said, now. Not to attain someday, because we're all going to be changed in the coming resurrection. But if I may attain to the resurrection from the dead now. If I can have that life that is so in sync with His person and His purposes and so obedient to His commands. If I could have it all now. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. No. But I press on. There's nothing wrong with having such a magnificent high goal for our living. We may never attain it. That's what He's trying to say here. It's so magnificent, far beyond our reach, but it doesn't mean we stop because we are not perfect yet. I know there's a group that believes you can become perfect on earth. That's a fantasy. While we're yet in our bodies, there are weaknesses. We sin. We can never be without sin. We know that. But that doesn't discourage us from thinking that it's open a life of wonder and awe in the presence of this Lord who loves us and gave himself for us. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Oh, I like that. He brought us out of the miry clay, all of us. He saved our souls. He gave us a new perspective. He gave us a new life. He gave us a new hope, a living hope. The outer man is failing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. The Lord God did wonders in my life. Now may I in some respect lay hold of his life. It's as though, maybe I saw this on a painting somewhere, it's God's reaching down and says, take, grasp my hand. And I reach up and I grasp his hand. We're taking hold of each other. Because of my faith, or our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Because he has brought us into his family, into his fellowship, and he calls us his children, sons of God. There is a union that cannot be broken. And so I walk by faith, and if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul said, I tried. Hebrew of the Hebrews, according to the law, Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day, did everything I thought had to be done, and it was choking me to death. And then I found Christ. And he laid hold of my life. And now I want to take, I'll lay hold of his life. I have a long way to go, Paul says. And so do we. But that is the excitement of being a Christian. That's the excitement of being a believer. That's the excitement of fellowshipping with God's family. That's the excitement of coming and listening to the Word of God and worshiping together. It's in a constant flow of excitement and growth and wonder. Please, as you listen to these words, as I listen to these words, please don't react like this. Bob, we'll never make it. I don't, it's too much. No, don't do that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can see the beauty of the life that's in Christ and the beauty of the life that's in the body. And we can enjoy that life. And we can walk this life in Christ. I'm not giving you any formula for what is said here. I'm not trying to say, oh, these are the secrets. their secrets were. It's hard to find what secrets are. These are the parameters. There's an excitement. There's a beauty here. So all that we do, whoops, rubbish. We've made mistakes. Where are you in your Christian commitment tonight? Oh, you've done things, you've done wonderful things. You realize that some of the things you did were very legalistic and some of the things were very foolish and vain. You don't dwell on that. Paul says, put back. Forgetting what behind. The true believer is an eternal optimist. He's always got a forward to look to. The society of atheists has nothing to look forward to. Nothing. They wouldn't even grasp what this means. But we as believers always have a forward to look to. No matter how old we are. Some like myself are getting up there. And we can't think in terms of 10 years. We could, but I doubt it. So what do you do? What do you do with the different parts of your life when you're young? You always look forward to the excitement that God is going to reveal to you each day that you live. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a life you've given to us. Very, very many mature believers here tonight listening to your word. And we want to have a life that's full and complete, full of excellency, full of the Lord Jesus, full of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we continue on in our journey, to be able to express ourselves in terms that are high, not low. Terms that conquer and are triumphant and wonderful. We thank you, Father, for your Son, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life. And we thank you now that we can enjoy this life as believers and bring glory to your name. We give our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.